You're listening to the Mike Kara Radio Program, Eye on the Nation, proudly broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth.
Welcome back to another edition of the Mike Kara Radio Program, Eye on the Nation, as we are proudly broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth. It's a little cold today as we are heading toward the end of October, at least here in Chicago, but my guests today are actually husband and wife, both great musicians and performers, inventors, just a little bit about everything. I have the honor and pleasure of being joined by Diane Renee, who, of course, had a great hit back in the 60s called Blue Navy Blue, and we'll talk about that in a minute, Diane. And also is her husband, Mr. Chris Egan, who is also a songwriter and an inventor, all sorts of different products, and we'll be talking about that in just a minute. But first of all, I guess I got to ask, since you know you are both husband and wife, how did you meet then? How did this all start as far as, you know, you meeting and getting married then?
Well, I'll try and make a long story short. Chris had a friend that he was working with when he was producing his album. And this friend actually got us together on a blind date. And that was back in 1992. I remember Chris called me January the 1st, and we talked. And January the 2nd, we talked. And by January the 3rd, we met each other. And we saw each other ever since. And then we were married July the 4th of 1992. So it went pretty fast.
Wow, exactly.
A lot in common.
Yeah, that's just great. So, yeah, we want to talk about, you know, how you got your start into music and things like that. But, Chris, first of all, we understand as well as being involved in music, you're an inventor as well. So I guess the question is, those then tend to go hand in hand then, your exploration of music and inventing, that all is interconnected then?
For myself, it is. I find... inventing and music actually to basically come from the same source. Writing a song or inventing a product, until I get the product out of me or the song written, it's the same process. That's basically, if I finish a product or finish a tune, I then can go on to the next. And I find it to be the same thing for myself.
Oh, great. So as far as it goes for you, Chris, you would say that pretty much when you were growing up, then the idea of inventing and music were both in your head. It wasn't necessarily a situation where you said, well, I'm going to be an inventor, I'm going to be a musician. It's kind of a little bit of both then?
Well, I grew up in a musical family. My father is a keyboard player, and he still is. And back when I was a child, music was always in our household. So it was all the time I would hear good music, good jazz, and take it for granted. But deep inside of me, when I was a small child, I knew I was going to have products on the market and invent. It wasn't like I was told or wanted to be that. It was just something I felt inside. As little as I was 2-3 years old, I knew it. I somehow knew Tom Edison. I knew of him, and all of my other friends didn't even know who he was. Even my family could care less. But to me, that meant something, and it kept a drive inside of me to look and explore and to search myself to find out what I needed to know so I can become someone who could invent.
Great. And now, Diane, for you, I understand that music and singing happen at a very early age. If you wouldn't mind telling us that wonderful story of how you got involved with music.
Well, I was born in South Philly, where a lot of great performers, as you know, came from. And when I was 11 and 12 years old, I had a group of friends. They were like four boys, and we used to hang out at night on the weekends on the corner and sing all the doo-wop songs of the time. I mean, and they would sing the background, and I would sing the lead. And by the time I was 14, I drove my parents crazy that I wanted to cut a record, because I was taking lessons with a very famous singing teacher and record producer who discovered Danny and the Juniors, Artie Singer. And Artie told me that when I got older, I should consider cutting records because he thought I really was good enough. So I had to convince my parents of this, and my father had a friend in Philadelphia who had a local band. So he asked his friend if he would do him a favor, bring his guys into a studio, you know. And I came in with my four boyfriends. They weren't boyfriends, they were just friends, but they were boys. And we did some demos, and one of the songs that we did was Zing Went the Strings of My Heart, which I just put out on my new it's in my double CD, and I just put together a compilation, a reissue of my original Navy Blue album with a lot of extra tracks on it, and I think that song is in there also. So after my parents heard this, they were really surprised that I sang that well, because they didn't know. And my dad had a jewelry business in Philadelphia, and he had a lot of customers who were in the music business, show business. One of his customers was the first cousin of a record producer, songwriter, Pete DeAngelis, who was responsible for Frankie Avalon. I think he had either wrote Venus for him, or I know he produced it. And a lot of other people out of Philadelphia. So my dad asked his friend, could he arrange a meeting for me to meet Pete DeAngelis and see what he thinks as far as my potential as a recording artist, you know, to see if I really had what it takes. So that was done, and my parents took me over to Pete DeAngelis's house one Sunday afternoon, and he sat at the piano and he played a couple of standards that I chose to sing. And when we were done, he turned around to my mom and dad and he says, "Your daughter really has a lot of talent and I know I can get her a record deal." And he went to Atlantic Atco and he got me a record deal. So the first song session was produced by Pete DeAngelis, and the first release was Little White Lies, the remake of the old song Little White Lies. For the second session, Atlantic Records decided to ask Bob Crew to come in and produce and write for me. And that's how I met Bob Crew. And Bob wrote a song called Tender. And that was my second release. And after those two releases, which charted like here and there, but didn't like chart, make any major high charts, you know, on Billboard, unfortunately, or fortunately, Atco decided to not pick up my option for another year. And when that happened, Bob Crew asked my father if he could take me on as one of his own personal artists, because he had a group of his own artists that he produced, of which the Four Seasons were one of them, and Eddie Rambeau, eventually Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, and lots of other people. And that was the best thing that happened to me, because that next session, the third session, Navy Blue was one of the three songs that I sang on the date. And actually, the funny thing is, it was the B-side of the single release. The A-side was called Unbelievable Guy. But I had a disc, there was a disc jockey in Worcester, Massachusetts by the name of Dick Smith, and he flipped the record, excuse me, and he loved Navy Blue so much that he kept playing it. And it just, within 2 months, the record took off and snowballed, and I was still in high school, and I came home one day, and the phone rings, and it's Bob Crew, and he says, "Sit down, I have to tell you something." I said, "What?" He says, "You have a hit record." I said, "You're kidding." He says, "No, and guess what song it is?" I said, "Unbelievable Guy, right?" He says, "Nope, Navy Blue, the B-side." So that's what happened with Navy Blue.
Okay, Chris and Diane, you know what? We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back. My guests today are a great couple, Diane Renee, who is a singer, performer, as well as Mr. Chris Egan, who is a great songwriter, guitarist, and inventor. You're listening to the Mike Kara Radio program, Eye on the Nation, as we are, as always, proudly broadcasting in Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth, and please stay with us.
Look at You are watching the moments go by. You, I, asking the question, asking the question, why?
Welcome back to the Mike Kira Radio program, Eye on the Nation. We definitely have our eye on the nation as we are proudly broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth. My guests today are a great couple. First of all, Chris Egan, who is a songwriter, guitarist, and inventor, and his wife, Diane Renee, who is an awesome singer and performer, and want to welcome you to, once again, to my show, and it's an honor and privilege to have you here. And now, Chris, we want to talk a little bit about your music career. Now, first of all, I understand that you're a songwriter, or are you a singer as well?
No, I can sing enough to write a song. And that's as far as that goes. Musically, I started playing when I was 14 years old. My father tried to keep us out of the music business, and because how hard of a life it was for him raising four children in Las Vegas doing showroom work. But there was a good friend my dad knew, Marty Page, who his son has the group Toto. He came down and said, you got to let your sons play music, and because you're able to do it, you should let your sons be creative too. So at the age of 14, I started playing classical guitar for a few years, and then I switched over and still kept playing classical, but I went electric so I could start playing professionally at the age of 16. And I worked Vegas with different bands and kept learning and still learning. It's guitar is an instrument you never master. When you think you're getting close, there's a whole new page to learn, you know.
Yeah, we see here that you've written a song called Home Street Home. And yes, I have checked out the YouTube video, and it's a very powerful video and a very powerful message. Definitely brings a tear to your eye, as well as a lot of awareness. And tell us, what was your inspiration for this particular song and how it all came about?
Well, it came about in late 89. I was going through a very bad emotional time in my life, a lot of depression, and couldn't seem to pull myself out and feel good anymore. And actually, things in my life weren't bad, but to me, inside, internally, life was hard. So I started going to churches and trying to find help with the emotional problem I was going through. And what I found, I went to churches, and they listened, but they couldn't lend a hand or lend time, so I got frustrated, and finally found coming home one day, sitting down and having this tune come out of me.
Excuse me, can I interrupt? missing an important part, Chris.
What's that, huh?
The church and the guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, all right. There was one, going back to the churches, I went back to a church in Vegas that I went to when I was a child, and I went there and I went to buy some crosses for my house, and on the way out of the church, I noticed they were ushering out a man with a suitcase, so I thought that was odd. So as I'm leaving, the man is sitting down on a guardrail and he's crying, so I went over, and since I felt the same way he felt, basically I sat down, started talking to him. He says, "You don't know what it is to be a homeless black man and how it feels." And I listened to him, so I decided how could I help him. And I went and got some money and got him a room at the Stardust Hotel, which isn't in Vegas anymore, and gave him some money for a few days to eat. And that's basically what led up to me being frustrated, and this came out of me.
Oh, okay. And another song, Chris, that you've wrote is Watching the Moments. Can you tell us about this one?
Well, basically Watching the Moments, time is just something we can't hold on to, and it's frustrating. I'm watching my parents grow old for the years, and that I know moving on and even passing away, and it's just something that we can't hold on to. The only thing we have in time are thoughts, and even thoughts, what are they after they're gone? You know, sometimes question those, and it's just was a song that came out because the way I feel, time is something we all don't have a lot of, and we're afraid that one time, sooner enough, the time does run out for all of us. But that's the meaning I had for this song.
Okay, and now, Diana, I guess I'll ask you this question. Now, I'm sure our audience is wondering, do the two of you actually have an opportunity to perform together in public? Or, I mean, I'm sure in your own home you do, but I mean, as far as in public, do you perform together?
Never. No.
Separate rooms.
Yeah, separate rooms. No, we don't. I mean, I help Chris a lot with his inventing. I mean, whenever he gets ideas for his inventions, we sit and talk about them. And then I help do all of the, help him with getting them patented and searched, and I do all the correspondence with whoever he's business with. So basically, I'm his secretary. And, you know, we do a lot of work together in that respect on his inventions. But as far as, like, musically, no. We've never collaborated and done anything together. I mean, when I met Chris, he was cutting the album that the song Home Sweet Home and Watching the Moments came off of. And I was not performing at that time. I just was living in Las Vegas, and I met him.
Oh, okay. And now, speaking of the inventions, Chris, we definitely want to talk about all these inventions. And now the first invention, and we'll stick with the music field here, is a digitally recording guitar that you've patented. And is this available yet, this guitar?
Not by myself, but right now I'm looking into a company that's putting out a digital recording guitar. It's Ovation Guitars. And I have my attorneys working on it right now. My guitar, I tried shopping at different music companies at the NAMM show about 4 years ago. But it's not out. Mine is not on the market yet, no.
Oh, okay. And now we see a whole bunch of inventions. Now, these inventions are, a lot of them are for cars then, to actually hear things in the cars. Is that sort of it?
Yeah, the way the first invention came out, the first one hit the market, was called Engineer. And the way that school, how I came up with the concept, my brother, my oldest brother, Jeff, had a 1989 Cadillac back in 92 that had a problem. It was running rough, so he brought it to the Cadillac dealership in Vegas, and they couldn't find the problem. So I went over his house that day, and he's sitting there, and my brother's a good mechanic, frustrated that he can't find why the motor's running rough. So inside of my glove box in my Chevy, I had through the years collected a microphone, an amplifier that I made for my brother to his mini moved up, and an old set of headphones. I told my brother, hold on a second. I ran and grabbed these things out of my glove box, which were there for years, and Jeff and myself, my oldest brother, we put them inside of a tube, a sprinkler pipe, put a 9-volt battery, and within like 15 seconds, we found a leak that General Motors couldn't find. So my brother says, what are you going to call it, Chris? I says, oh, engineer. And I threw it in his closet. I thought, oh, that has to be on the market somewhere. But years later, it wasn't, and that was the first tool that I brought to a company called Stillman Tools, and that was their first home run they had.
Oh, and I understand, Chris, that there's a whole, I guess, family of ears, such as chassis ears, marine ears, and tracer ears. So tell us about all these other ears.
Yeah, it seems like I'm all ears. No. Well, the tracer ear was actually a marketing strategy that the company Stillman had to catch a different price point, and which came in around like $50 instead of $110. So that product pretty much mirrors the engineer. But then you have a chassis ear, which is used like when you're driving your car 30 miles an hour and you bring it to the shop and you say, oh, 30 miles an hour, when I turn to the left, I hear a clank. And you can't simulate that in the shop, or you can't tie a mechanic under the car. So I thought, well, if you make clamps that you can hook under the transmission, the rear end, or the differential, and then sit in the car and drive and at 30 miles an hour and take a corner, you can isolate the channels and find out what track listening to, and that would be what area you need to look for where the trouble is from. So that's how the chassis ear came out. And let's see, another one is the
Engineer Elite.
Now, the Engineer Elite is another listening device, but it goes out of phase, so it cuts out noise, and it will only pick up the vibration and contact when you touch like a exhaust manifold or where your lifters or your gas solenoids are. So that's how that product came out, and I came out with some inspecting mirrors. Mainly I came out with those because I was really into stereos, and hooking up a stereo when it's in the rack, you can't see behind it. So I put a mirror with a light on it and with a dial knob to adjust the mirror, and that's how that tool was created. That's pretty much how I make my products. I run into a problem, and then I decide to make something to solve it, and it seems to work for myself that way.
Oh, great, and I don't know if you're at liberty to say, Chris, but I mean, do you have any particular, or not necessarily the item, but I mean, you have any particular inventions in the works, or the new ones?
Let's see. I have a guitar amp. I can't say what it is right now, but it's going to on the market probably within a year, and it's a very unique item I think a lot of guitar players going to want. And something I'm using at home right now, but when people come over, I run over and cover it up, you know. But a guitar amp, I have some things to clean out drains, a new way of deodorizing drains and homes, and it's a lot of different things. It goes on and on. I down on a cassette recorder, and I listen back, and then I decide which ones I'm going to make. And that's how I do my process.
You are listening to the Mike Carrier Radio Program, Eye on the Nation, as we are proudly broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth. My guests today are a great couple, Diane Renee, who is an awesome singer and performer, and her husband, Mr. Chris Egan, who is a great songwriter, guitarist, and inventor. And you are listening to the Mike Carrier Radio Program, Eye on the Nation.
Yeah.
Welcome back to our final segment of this edition of the Mike Care Radio program, Eye on the Nation. We definitely have our eye on the nation, as always, as we are broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, Planet Earth. My guests today are Diane Renee, who is an awesome singer and performer, as well as her husband, Chris Egan, who is an awesome songwriter, guitarist, and, of course, inventor. Again, it is a pleasure and honor to have both of you here today on my program. And now, Diane, we want to talk to you about, you know, now are you currently, still performing then? I mean, you're still doing shows everywhere then?
Not at the moment, no. I did a show about 2-3 years ago. I went to, one show was for the Veterans of Farm Wars, which was held in... I think it was Austin, Texas. And then I did a show, old-time radio convention in Newark, New Jersey, a few years ago. But the traveling is why I can't handle anymore. And what happened, this is the straw that broke the camel's back for me. When I did the convention, the 3-day convention in Newark, New Jersey, the day that I was leaving, they were having all these big wildfires in California that were so bad that they canceled all of the flights into the West Coast because it was coming in even into Las Vegas. They couldn't see. So they canceled my flight, and here I am sitting in the airport at 8 o'clock at night. That's when I was supposed to leave, with 5 suitcases, because when I had to travel, I had to take lots of things with me, and no one with me. And I'm sitting there, and over the last, all the flights to the West Coast, sorry, because of the fires are canceled, there'll be flights going out 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, I sat there in the Newark airport all through the night by myself in an empty airport, surrounded by 5 suitcases. I mean, I couldn't leave even to use the ladies' room because I had all this luggage. And I was mortified that I'm sitting there alone by myself in the airport until finally 7 o'clock in the morning I boarded a plane and flew back home. But it was like that moment of me sitting in the airport by myself in the middle of the night just struck me like, what are you doing? You know, like, how old are you? And like, okay, you used to do this when you were a kid and maybe it was fun then, but this is not fun. This is stressful. So I think after that incident, I made up my mind that I wasn't going to do it anymore. It just wasn't worth it to me, you know, the stress that I went through. So, but, you know, I'm not saying that in the future, if somebody comes along, contacts me and wants me to do something and it's not too involved, I might say yes, you know. But at the moment, no, I'm not performing.
Okay. And now, Chris, how about you? Are you performing anywhere?
No, I haven't worked in Vegas for quite a while. I mainly just practice and keep my chops up at home. And I do a lot of recording at home, which I'm happy now I can spend the time doing that. And where before, when I was playing in Vegas, when you're doing gigs 6-8 hours a night, you don't want to really go home and play, you know, at least for myself. And I find that staying at home, I can be more creative right now. So to answer the question, no, I'm not working right now in Vegas.
Well, that's okay. And as we start to get to the nitty-gritty, we want to ask the both of you. Now, as far as we'll start with you, Diane, your music, especially all those great songs from yesteryear and maybe some current music. Where can we get some great Diane Renee music then?
Okay, well, you can go on my website for my double CD. It's Diane Renee, dianerenay.com and purchase my double CD, or you can go to CD Baby or iTunes, and CD Baby you can purchase the double CD, the physical CD. You can also download the double CD and the new reissue of the Navy Blue original album plus bonus tracks is for downloading only. So that's available at CD Baby, iTunes, and a lot of other downloading places, Amazon. So my music's out there, you know, it's out there. And Chris has a great website, and his website is Chris Egan World, and I'm going to spell that for you. It's ChrisEaganWorld, Chris Egan World, and just to mention
.com.
Yeah, we're both .com. And just to mention, Chris just recorded a solo guitar album of about how many songs?
28.
About 28 Beatles songs that are fantastic. So we're working on releasing them, and they're coming soon. The CD will be available on Chris's website in the near future. But if you go to his website now and you go to the Beatles Project and you click on that, you can listen to a sample of each song.
Great. And yeah, Chris, you have now a new website, and yeah, it's got all sorts of information. So as Diane was saying, we encourage everyone to check out, and this has all the information about your inventions as well.
Yes, it does. It shows the products I have currently on the market up to today. This spans over approximately about 20 years now with these inventions. And yeah, the website, there was a man, Ronnie Allen, he just got it up and running, and he did a phenomenal job putting this together and engineering it. I mean, it's great, you know, and it shows off my product. I look at it, I can't even believe this is my stuff. It's like, well, who is this guy, you know? But he did that good a job. And but also, I like to plug the YouTube video. That would be all right, you know.
Sure.
Just go to YouTube and put in Chris Egan and watch the Home Street Home and the Watching the Moments. And there's even a new one coming out, Where Were You? It's the video should be up probably within a week.
Oh, great. And now, Chris, as far as the inventions, I'm sure we all want to get some of these. What's the best place? Can you get them on your website, or where can we get your inventions?
No, these inventions are sold through Mac Tools, Snap-on Tools, and a company called Stillman in Las Vegas. They're the company that factors them. I license all of these products to a company in Las Vegas, and their name is Deus Product Stillman Corporation, and they sell around the whole world. So I don't sell tools myself or through my website. It's basically I built the website to further my career, showing what I've done and what I've done, products that I have on the market. But that I can't sell. I can sell the ones I have in my closet and my own, but you know. But you'd have to go through Snap-on, Cornwell, or Macco, Mac Tool Company, and the Stillman.
Oh, okay. I want to thank you both for your time. And before we head on out of here, is there any final thoughts from either of you? We'll start with you, Diane. Anything else we should know?
Well, like Chris has a couple of videos on YouTube. I have several videos on YouTube. If you just put my name in Diane Renee, there's the new video for my double CD, and then there's the new video for the reissue of the Navy Blue album, And then there's a video of me doing my performance at the Veteran of Foreign Wars a few years ago, which is very interesting because I hadn't performed in years, and this was the first time, like, I don't know how many years I had been on the stage, and I was really nervous. But I pulled it off, and it's a real good video. I think people will enjoy it because it's just an enjoyable video. And then there's another video when I did the convention in Newark where I'm performing with Eddie Rambeau. Eddie Rambeau is one of the songwriters of Navy Blue. He's also a recording artist himself who had a hit called Concrete and Clay. I don't know if you remember it from the 60s. But we're on there. So there's a lot of videos of myself on YouTube. And I just wanted to say, to end this wonderful interview that you were so kind to give to the both of us, I'd like to wish everybody that listens to your program a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and a healthy holiday season and a healthy year for next year for all.
Okay. Chris, any final thoughts, sir?
Basically, I want to thank you for having me on your show, and this is my first interview, and I want to thank you for spending the time and giving me the chance to put my stuff out there and so people can see it.
Sure, my pleasure. Okay, I want to thank you so much, both of you, for your time. My guests have been Diane Renee and Chris Egan, and you've been listening to the Mike Kara Radio Program, Eye on the Nation, and please catch us again next time.